Welcome to Willow Creek Fellowship in Plano, Texas.
We are, actually next Sunday winds up being Pentecost Sunday, but we're going to actually talk about the scriptures of the day of Pentecost today. And so if you have your Bibles with you, we're going to be reading not the whole entirety of the day of Pentecost, but just the first few verses, Acts 2, 1 through 6, and we should be able to see it up here. All right, very good.
Okay. And, que ahorita vamos a estar viendo lo que es el Pentecostal. Vamos a estar viendo de Hechos 2, del 1 al 6, si lo están viendo allá. Y es lo que vamos a estar estudiando ahorita.
And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place.
Cuando llegó el día de Pentecostés, estaban todos juntos en el mismo lugar.
And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting.
De repente vino del cielo un ruido como el de una violenta ráfaga de viento y llenó toda la casa donde estaban reunidos.
And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them.
Y se le aparecieron unas lenguas como de fuego que se repartieron y se postraron sobre cada uno de ellos.
And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance.
Todos fueron llenos del Espíritu Santo y comenzaron a hablar en diferentes lenguas según el Espíritu les concedía expresarse.
And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven.
Estaban de visita en Jerusalén judíos piadosos procedentes de todas las naciones de la tierra.
Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together, and they were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own tongue.
Al oír aquel bullicio, se agolparon y quedaron todos pasmados porque cada uno de uno los escuchaba hablar en su propio idioma.
Let's pray.
Vamos a entrar en oración.
Father, I am always fearful of being in the pulpit and speaking on your behalf when I know that you can speak so much more eloquently through your mercy and your compassion and your grace. Lord, again, I come before you humbly to ask that you reveal through your scriptures and through your presence here what I can't even hope to artificially create. Lord, I thank you that you're here. I ask that you erase any of my words that are not of yours, and that you bless the reading of this word so that today we walk away from here changed and changed forever. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
When I was a little boy of about 4 or 5 years old, so not very tall at all, I lived in a little town in Oklahoma. The town was called Stillwell, Oklahoma. Not Stillwater, not where the OU Cowboys are, Stillwell. And I didn't know much about other nations or other languages. The map in my head didn't go but about 20 miles in any direction because I was little. And the one thing I was certain about is there were us Americans. We were white of skin, blanco, yeah, white of skin. And I knew the song, Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, right? Or, so if I get this right, rojo, amarillo, negro, blanco.
Dice que cuando él estaba pequeño de 4 años, dice que lo único que él recordaba, él vivía en Oklahoma, en una calle que, en un pueblo que se llama Stillwell. Ajá, que algo así de mojado. Pero dice que lo único que él sabía era que el lugar que estaba ahí, la única lengua que él conocía era lo que él estaba viviendo ahí, que no sabía más y conocía esa canción la que estaba cantando.
And I knew of Mexico, right? Because, and y'all are going to laugh, I had seen all the little Speedy Gonzales cartoons. And like every boy, I wanted to be fast like Speedy Gonzales.
Dice que ustedes se acuerdan de México. Él sabía solamente de México porque él sabía el lenguaje español y siempre cantaba las canciones de Speedy González. Ustedes las conocen.
I knew of American Indians. We call them Native Americans now because at least in part, I'm part Cherokee. Like most of the people I grew up with, I saw cowboy and Indian movies. And I still did not want to be an Indian, even though I'm part Cherokee, and people knew it, and they'd want me to be an Indian when we played Cowboys and Indians, because those of you, when you were kids that played it, you know that you're obligated as an Indian to fall down every time a cowboy shoots you with his finger. Try that one.
Sí. Dice que él, como como americano, él es parte Cherokee, de la tribu de Cherokee, de los indios, y que siempre le gustaba jugar indios y vaqueros. Y dice que estaban obligados a que al que le apuntaban con la pistola, si era un indio, si un cowboy le apuntaba con la pistola, el indio se dejaba caer, se tiraba al suelo.
That was good. I got the vaquero part, so I understood that. I knew of Germany and Japan because I'd seen all the John Wayne movies and all the other, you know, the war movies that there were. I didn't understand that at the time, I didn't know the war had ended about, you know, 15, 20 years earlier. But at least, you know, I knew of Germany and Japan.
Sabía de la gente alemana y los japoneses porque dice que él veía películas y por eso se daba cuenta de que había gente diferente.
And I knew of England because that's where the Pilgrims came from, and England is who we won our freedom from in the War of Independence, so we'd have the right to drink tea and pop fireworks on July the 4th.
Y sabía de los ingleses también, dice, porque ellos habían venido a colonizar aquí y tomaban café y se celebraban el 4 de julio por el Día de la Independencia.
I remember seeing the very first African American in my life. Now, I must have been 4, and we were on a train ride. Now, we didn't have a lot of money, so the train ride was only about a 20-minute train ride from Stillwell, Oklahoma to Siloam Springs. Probably cost $1 a ticket, I don't know. And there was an African American man who was punching our tickets, and I'd never seen one before, didn't know they existed. As he reached out to get our tickets, I reached up and touched his hand to see if it would rub off. I did. And my mother slapped me for my silliness on that part and apologized to the man. He kindly looked at me as if he understood, okay, you haven't seen anybody like me before.
Dice que él la primera vez que vio a un hombre africano-americano, que él lo vio cuando iban de viaje de su pueblo a otro pueblo, que eran 20 minutos de camino. Y dice que en ese entonces valía el viaje como $1 o algo así. Ellos dicen que no tenían mucho dinero. Pero dice que cuando vio a la persona que le estaba dando el ticket, que él lo tocó para saber si era de verdad o era algo ficticio. Y dice que su mamá le pegó por andar haciendo esas cosas.
I think it was funnier when you said it. What I couldn't possibly know is that someday I would grow up and, among other things, I would live in a county, Collin County, in the United States, where we've got over 120 language groups. The world has come to this area, and we have so many. I mean, this is like a microcosm of the entire globe. And I didn't know I'd be serving in a church where not only do I need to be aware of speaking English, but I need to learn Espanol. And who knows some other things. We've got somebody in our congregation who speaks Japanese. And we've had people before come that speak, I believe we had one that spoke Romanian, or, you know, we've had other languages. So I live in a place where God brought the whole world together.
Amen. Dice que en el lugar que estamos, dice que casi todas, hay muchas lenguas de todo el mundo, que ha venido gente de todos lugares, y que él nunca creyó que iba a estar en una iglesia hablando el inglés y alguien que lo estuviera traduciendo español. Y se da cuenta que hay gente también que habla japonés, y como hay gente también que está aquí, ¿verdad? Como nosotros que estamos aquí también.
All right. The fact that we worship the same Lord and Savior and yet speak a different language is often a big challenge for me here. But I think it's important that we do that together, that we worship together. I don't speak Spanish. I struggle to sing in Spanish, cantar. I don't do it very well. And yet it's important that we learn to worship together. I love the way we combine our services.
Amen. Dice que le gusta cómo nos combinamos nosotros, que él, pues... Lo que estamos haciendo es algo bonito, que él nunca pensó que íbamos a estar haciendo esto, hablando español e inglés, que cómo nos interrelacionamos cada uno de nosotros, Me dice que él no canta muy bien español, pero pero nosotros sí lo entendemos. We understand when you sing in English, anyways.
I feel better now. That kind of lets me off the hook. When we get to heaven, language won't be a problem. Today we practice the presence of God. God's kingdom's come, and the very presence of heaven in our worship. We don't have to wait for heaven. One of the reasons we come here on Sunday, one of the reasons we worship together, one of the reasons we have meals together sometimes is because heaven starts now, not later. And so we bring that into worship. So if we do this, we have a challenge. We've got to learn to make the language irrelevant, to forget about the language. And you just remember that God understands and reads everything in our hearts, so language is not a problem for God.
Dice que como lo estamos haciendo nosotros, que así va a ser el cielo, que cuando nosotros venimos y nos juntamos a para adorar al mismo Dios, dice que es lo que estamos aprendiendo, lo que vamos a hacer allá en el cielo. Y tenemos dificultades, tenemos problemas para comunicarnos o para llevarnos bien, pero Dios dice que Él es lo que quiere, que nosotros aprendamos aquí a estar juntos, porque así vamos a estar allá arriba.
Revelation 7, 9. And 10 give us a picture of this. It says, after these things I saw a great army of people, more than might be numbered. So it's a huge multitude, perhaps billions, who knows, out of every nation and all the tribes and peoples and languages, taking their places before the high seat, before the Lamb, dressed in white robes and with branches in their hands.
En Revelaciones dice, en Apocalipsis 7, del 10, de 7 adelante, habla de que dice que llegaba una gran multitud y que venían a adorar al Cordero de Dios. Amén.
Saying with a loud voice, salvation to our God who is seated on the high seat and to the Lamb. So they're worshiping.
Todos estaban adorando a Dios, decían, salvación viene para cuando viene el Cordero de Dios, y todos cantaban al Cordero de Dios.
So when we get to heaven, language is not going to be a problem.
Cuando lleguemos al cielo, el lenguaje no va a ser ningún problema.
So, why speak so many languages? Why does God continue to choose for us to have so many different languages? Genesis 11 tells us the story of how languages became, about the Babylonians, and they built a great tower, the Tower of Babel.
Dice que por qué vienen esos problemas de la lengua. Dice que en Génesis 11 nos habla de que la gente estaba construyendo una torre grande, la Torre de Babel, y ahí fue Dios donde los separó y para que no entendieran su propio lenguaje.
So one of the great grandsons of Noah was a very evil man. His name was Nimrod. We know him as Nimrod the Hunter. And he was so evil, among other things that extant history tells us outside the Bible, he and his mother conspired and killed his own father. And then he regained the throne with his mother and ruled, or tried to rule the world. He founded, actually, we also know that he founded the city of Nineveh that you read about in Jonah. That's the same city that God, it was so evil that God said he was going to destroy it if they didn't repent. So Nimrod was the one that was doing this.
Nimrod era una persona que estaba bien, bien malo, que él y su mamá mataron a su papá. Y dice que esas personas son los mismos que estaban construyendo esa torre. Si ustedes se acuerdan en Jonás, que yo les estaba hablando de la ciudad que les iba a hablar Jonás, es de esa misma gente lo que estaba hablando.
So we also know that Nimrod, here's another unusual fact about him. He was actually the original inventor of crucifixion. The Romans only perfected crucifixion. Nimrod actually came up with it, and in fact, one of the reasons that Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh was because, as a warning to people, for people to stay out, they lined the roads with people who had been impaled and crucified along the roads as a warning.
Dice que él fue el que hizo la crucifixión. Solamente los romanos solamente perfeccionaron la cruz. Y por una de esas razones es que Jonás no quería ir a Nínive a predicarles, porque dice en el camino había muchas cruces de los que habían crucificado ahí en el camino. Por eso Jonás tenía miedo de ir a hablarles ahí a ese pueblo.
Nimrod was a kind of antichrist in the Bible, the first of many that we read. His goal was actually to to lead rebellion against the one true known God. So if you think about it, up till then, there weren't this multiplicity of gods in people's minds. They all knew who God was and what he had done. And so only four generations after the world was destroyed, four generations after Noah, here's a man that's poised to lead a worldwide campaign against God. He was sort of, if you can think of it, he was an antichrist, and he was leading an anti-church, basically.
Él es es simbolizado como un anticristo, dice que porque él fue una de las personas que estuvo peleando siempre contra Dios, y que después de la Segunda Guerra Mundial, solamente cuatro generaciones habían quedado de esa persona.
So God had, after the flood, promised that he would never destroy the world with a flood again. He actually had the right to just destroy everything. He always has. But in his grace and his mercy and in his plan and his promises, he chose a different route. He decided to confound all the languages of people so that they were confused and that they couldn't all work together to rebel against God.
Sí, es que antes Dios, cuando algo se, Dios no le gustaba, lo destruía. Como ahí en Génesis 6 de Noé estaba hablando, que dice que él había dicho que iba a destruir a la gente. Pero en eso él se acordó que no los iba a destruir porque hizo una promesa. Él no podía destruir su propia gente. Entonces lo que hizo fue confundirlos con la forma de lenguaje para que ellos no se entendieran.
All right, so let's bring that back. We know that's how the languages came to be. Let's bring that back to now we're in the era Jesus has arisen. We're the early Christians are awaiting for the presence of the Holy Spirit. They were about, it tells us, 120 in number, and they were waiting as instructed by the Holy Spirit after Jesus ascended into heaven.
Amén. Pues es así es como se originó la de todos los lenguajes, dice. Y pero ya llegando a esto, nosotros conocemos que está el Señor Jesús, y por medio de la crucifixión nosotros podemos llegar ante él y se puede quitar toda la barrera del lenguaje.
And it was just after the Passover, so Jesus had been that promised prophetic fulfillment of redemption of man through the sinless sacrifice that Jesus made. He was the only and final Passover lamb that we would ever need for our salvation.
Esa es la última cena que él tuvo, dice que y ya de ahí no va a haber ninguna más que tengamos que tenga el que hacer el Señor Jesús. Y es por eso que nosotros llegamos ante él por la salvación que él nos trajo a nosotros. Pero él nos enseña cómo nos podemos reunir para tener esa comunión con él.
And just as with Moses and the children of Israel, that the original Passover event was symbolic of God's redemption of man, those who choose to follow him, there's a period afterwards that's a celebration of what? The liberation and the freedom from sin and death. So just as the children were freed from the Pharaoh and they then began their journey, this is symbolic of the same thing. We refer to this event, the coming of the Holy Spirit, we call it the day of Pentecost, which is 50 days after Passover. That's significant. I'm going to tell you about that in a minute.
Amen. Es lo que cuando dijo él de que cuando salió el pueblo de Israel de Egipto fue la liberación que hizo él. Cuando se acuerdan cuando ustedes que han leído Génesis que hicieron la última el sacrificio el cordero y cuando ellos salieron de Egipto. Entonces eso quiere decir la liberación, como nosotros nos liberamos del pecado. Esa ahorita lo que él va a decir 50 días el pentecostal es 50 días después de la última cena de la Pascua, de lo que se conoce como Pascua.
So to the Jews of Jerusalem, after the Passover, many of them came from different nations and they had a trip to make back. And there was actually a 50-day period in there, a holiday. So there's a holiday that comes between Passover and Shavuot. Or Shavuot, as some would say, and it's the holiday called Sephira, and it comes 50 days after. So they were returning to their own cities, and Sephira is actually the counting of the Omer, but what it is a holiday time to remember that after the Passover, God gave freedom to people, and so they're to celebrate that, Sephira.
Estaban celebrando eso que llaman zafiras, dice los 50 días eran después de lo que ellos habían simbolizaban que habían salido de Egipto, y por eso estaba toda esta gente reunida que ya se estaban como yendo ya para sus lugares, para que ya estaban terminando la fiesta.
And on that 50th day, actually it's a 49-day holiday, and on the 50th day, they actually celebrate in a very interesting way. They, at the end of the day, they celebrate by making a large bonfire at night. And the bonfire, if you remember, as the children were in the desert, what were they following? A cloud by day and by night? Thank you. You can answer. Yes, fire. Fire by night. So they build this bonfire to represent this column of fire that represents a couple of things. Number one, it represents that God was the one that freed them, liberated them, but it also represents that God was present with them and guiding them.
Amen. Dice que el último día era algo muy, muy especial porque el último día hacían un fuego grande que representaba que cuando el pueblo de Israel fue saliendo de Egipto, que en la noche estaba el fuego que los acompañaba y en el día estaba la nube. Entonces lo que ellos querían representar con el fuego era la liberación, querían representar la salvación y querían también representar la misma presencia de Dios que siempre los estaba acompañando.
And so in God's great symbology, his repeating poem, his theme throughout the Bible that you find, we now have early Christians who have been liberated by the Passover Lamb, Jesus, who freed us from our sins, and they were awaiting the presence of the Holy Spirit, and it came as tongues of fire. Do you see the parallel there?
Sí, dice que cuando ahora que los cristianos que estaban ahí reunidos en ese, como apenas habían conocido al Señor, dice que estaban solamente esperando la venida del Espíritu Santo. Es lo que estaban ahí reunidos para que el Espíritu Santo había descendido, dice, como un fuego sobre cada uno de ellos.
We have the Holy Spirit now that comes upon us and convicts us of our sins, and if we're accepting of that, he comes and he indwells us, and we now have his presence so that we can be transformed into what God always meant for us to be and fully equipped to do every good work in which God has meant for us to do.
Amen. Dice que así como el Espíritu Santo entra sobre nosotros y nos convence de pecado, cuando llega aquí a nosotros, dice, entonces nosotros empezamos a saber más de Dios y es lo que le llama la transformación del cristiano.
And Jesus himself said, if you love me, keep my commandments, and the Holy Spirit dwells within us so that we actually want to keep God's commandments out of love and obedience to him. Put it another way, tell you how it works in my life. If I decide I want to start straying into sin, I've got this resident Holy Spirit within me, the Holy Spirit of God, saying, don't do it, idiot. Don't do it.
Amen. Dice que como tenemos el Espíritu Santo de Dios en nuestro interior, y eso dice que el Señor Jesús dice, si me aman, guardarán mis mandamientos. Y ustedes saben que las cosas buenas son de Dios. Y dice, si algo malo quiero hacer, hay algo dentro de nuestro interior que nos dice, no lo hagas.
Amen. So, we have a situation here where the tongues of fire come and people begin to speak in other tongues so that those who have a different language can hear in their own language. And Peter begins to speak and all hear the gospel in their own language. Now, I'm curious, knowing the story of the Tower of Babel, why in this instance, having had Jesus, the Lamb of God, who paid the price for our sins, and his work is done, why wouldn't God just change it all back so we understand each other? Why not? Why wouldn't we be able to worship more easily if we all understood the same language? Wouldn't the truth about Christ be spreading more quickly? What was God thinking?
¿Qué es lo que estaba pensando? Dios dice cuando hizo todo esto, porque dice, sería mejor que todos nos conociéramos, que todo cada uno supiéramos nuestro propio lenguaje, cada uno hablara el lenguaje que nos pudiéramos entender. ¿Por qué el Señor que pagó por nuestros pecados vino y hizo esto lo que estamos haciendo ahora? Igual lo que estamos haciendo ahorita.
I don't know the answer to this. And I've often wondered, but I do know that the Bible says this. It says that there are none not righteous, no, not one, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Maybe God knew in his wisdom the world wasn't ready to have one language again.
Dice que hay un pasaje en la Biblia que dice que ningún justo, ningún injusto heredará el reino de Dios. Es por eso que dice, a lo mejor en adelante va a haber una lengua solamente para cada uno, para todos nosotros.
And if you were to draw a chart of all the people that have ever lived across time, you would find that more people have been born and live in the past 100 years than all other recorded history combined.
Que si tuviéramos algo con que anotar, dice que ha habido gente que ha nacido mucho más de 100 años atrás hasta este lugar, pues en toda, dice, toda la gente combinada de lo que antes había nacido. Ahora hay más gente naciendo.
So today, even though we have all these different languages, we have technology that sort of united the world. So I can actually, one of the things, and it doesn't work very well, but one of the things I could have done was I could have gone into Google Translate and I could have translated this whole sermon into some kind of weird version of Spanish, because it wouldn't sound right to him, I know. Nor would it sound right if I tried to read it. But we're united. It's not just that the universal language is English around the world, it's that you don't have to know English. Our technology has made it possible to unite the world, and yet, here's my warning, look at the direction the world is going now that we're becoming more united. What are we becoming more united in? Our rebellion against God. Which is the original problem in the Tower of Babel. They were rebelling against God, so God said, all right, I'm going to make the languages different.
Amén. Dice que sería, hubiera sido más fácil hacerlo él, que él hubiera traído una traductora en Google y hubiera estado traduciendo todo y le hubiera dado a ustedes que lo hubiera traducido, pero dice que iba a sonar diferente a lo que nosotros estamos entendiendo, lo que nosotros hablamos. ¿Qué es lo que viene a solucionar ahorita? Todo el mundo así está dirigido ahorita a lo que es la perdición, porque ¿qué es lo que pasó anterior en la Torre de Babel? Se querían rebelar contra Dios. Y en esa rebelión Dios vino y les cambió el lenguaje para que no se entendieran entre ellos mismos.
Amen. We're worse than Nimrod's Babylon. And God, he's not going to long tolerate our sinfulness. God will respond to a world that rebels against him.
No somos nada diferente, dice, a los que antes estaban rebelando contra Dios, contra los amorreos y los amonitas. Somos igual, dice, que cuando hay una rebelión en contra de Dios, Dios aparece.
But God's will is that this gospel message be spread into all the world, every language, and he has chosen to make us agents of that spreading of the gospel. He didn't have to do that. He could have done that himself. But he's chosen us. I actually have a couple of friends from Wycliffe Bible Translators that recently retired. They spent 35 years just translating the New Testament into a different tongue down in New Guinea. Took them 35 years.
Dice que ¿por qué Dios, o sea, Dios quiere que nosotros seamos los agentes de predicar el evangelio? Dice porque Dios dice que tiene unos amigos que han tenido más de 35 años traduciendo Biblias a otros lenguajes, que gente que está retirada y que está trabajando haciendo las traducciones al lenguaje de ellos.
So likewise, I think we have to have a commitment that says we've got to learn to speak to one another, and if that means learning another language, that might mean that some of us have to learn more English, and some of us have to learn more Espanol escuela, and who knows what languages we might have to learn in the future.
Hay un compromiso, dice, que Dios nos está llamando para que nos podamos entender, que muchos de nosotros tenemos que aprender inglés, más inglés, y muchos también de ellos tienen que aprender a hablar español. Tal vez tengamos que ir a la escuela, dice, para aprender igual.
But more importantly, I'm never going to learn Spanish well enough so that I speak wonderfully and you all think you all are fooled into thinking I might be from South America. So you're never going to believe that. It's never going to happen. And so we all have to, beyond that, we have to learn to speak God's universal language of love.
Amen. Dice que aunque a él aprenda bien a hablar, hablar español, nunca lo va a hablar igual como nosotros lo hablamos. Pero dice que si él habla español, dice, van a pensar que es alguien de Sudamérica o alguien de otro país, ¿verdad? Por si habla español. Pero dice, lo que tenemos que aprender a hablar es el idioma universal, que es el idioma de Dios.
So, God's universal language of love, what is that? We speak the universal language of love just when we smile at each other and we exhibit our joy and compassion for each other.
Amén. El idioma universal de Dios es el amor. Y dice que cuando nosotros expresamos ese idioma, es solamente con una sonrisa, con que nos sonríamos con alguien. Y ese es el idioma del amor de Dios.
We speak God's universal language of love when we weep with those who weep.
Hablamos el idioma universal cuando estamos a alguien, con alguien que no queremos estar.
We speak God's universal language of love when we lay hands on somebody who's sick or ill and we pray for them.
Hablamos el idioma universal de Dios cuando ponemos las manos sobre alguien que está enfermo o alguien que quiere ser sanado.
We speak God's universal language of love when we give the best of what we have to those who do not have.
Hablamos el idioma universal de Dios cuando damos de nuestro mejor cuando alguien que no, lo que no tiene no lo puede hacer él por sí mismo.
We speak God's universal language of love when we bring peace into chaos.
Hablamos el idioma universal de Dios cuando atraemos paz donde hay caos.
So you say, okay, I think I can speak that universal language of love. I might not be able to learn Spanish, German, French, whatever you come up with. But I think I can do that. But here's my problem. How do we worship in the same church and church service if we don't all speak the same language? Sometimes, confession, sometimes it slows me down to hear words, you know, in a different language. So English or Spanish. Or maybe it's more enjoyable. I could enjoy songs so much more if I could just hear them and sing them in my language.
Dice que a veces es más fácil que hablemos solamente nuestro propio lenguaje, porque a veces dice nos desespera no entender lo que la otra persona está hablando. Pero dice que a veces nosotros decidimos mejor, ¿por qué no mejor hablamos nuestro propio idioma, lo que nosotros hablamos, para que nosotros nos podamos entender?
So my answer to that is when we're in the presence of God, we shouldn't let words get in the way of our worship. We could actually have 100% of us in this room speaking the same language and yet still worship not occur because we're letting the words get in the way.
A veces dice que podemos hablar el mismo idioma. O sea, poder hablar inglés, pero dice que a veces las mismas palabras de nosotros evitan que nosotros tengamos una relación con Dios, una adoración bien con Dios, nuestras propias palabras.
And we should enjoy our worship time together and our worship time with God, but it's not because of what I get out of it. It's because I'm in the presence of God and I'm praising Him and I'm showing my love to Him and we're worshiping. The audience isn't each other. It's an audience of one. It's an audience of God.
Amen. Es dice que cuando nosotros estamos con Dios, dice, no es lo que nosotros queremos pedirle a Dios, sino que lo que nosotros le queremos dar a Dios, que porque eso es lo que representa aquí venir a este lugar, adorar a Dios. No somos nosotros la audiencia, es Dios. A él debemos de adorar. Amén.
Now I can't personally show you what I'm talking about, but you're going to get ready and see it anyway. And I want God to show you today what this means. And I promise you, if you do this with me, you're going to see God do something miraculous, and it's going to touch your heart.
No quiere que él sea lo que tú veas, sino que veas lo que Dios va a hacer hoy en esta mañana. Y Dios dice, Dios, si tú te dejas tocar por Dios, tú vas a poder ver milagros pasar. Amén.
So a few minutes ago when we had the offertory, I sang something. We all sang it together. It was Alleluia. How do you say Alleluia in Spanish?
Alleluia.
How do you say Alleluia in English? Alleluia. Does anybody know how you say it in German? Alleluia. Anybody know how you say it in French? How about Russian? Hallelujah. I got a wild one for you, Chinese. Hallelujah. The only one I found that was a little bit different was, please don't laugh, and Taka's not here to defend herself. In Japanese, it's hararuya. I'm not making it up. But we sang it together. We've actually adopted a word that's Hebrew in all the different languages. Does anybody know what hallelujah means? That's right. Praise Yahweh or Jehovah. Hallelujah. And so, you know, I find it funny when somebody who's not even a believer, I'm talking a lot. Sorry, I didn't give you a chance.
That's fine. Don't understand.
When somebody who's not a believer, you know, something happy happens to them and they say, well, hallelujah. They have no idea what they're saying. And I love it. So I want you to keep that in your mind. I'm going to pick on a couple of people that have no idea I'm doing this. And it might be start to be an uncomfortable moment. Go ahead and translate that part.
Dice que aleluya se traduce en todos los idiomas. Estuvo hablando en japonés, en alemán, en inglés. Es lo mismo, en español es lo mismo. Te dice que que ahorita va a ser algo diferente, tal vez algo incómodo, dice, para muchas personas. Pero ahorita lo van a ver lo que él va a hacer. Y estuvo diciendo que pues no debe de haber barrera en el lenguaje para adorar a Dios. Amén.
All right, and this is how I'm going to do it. I did not prearrange this. I'll start with someone easy who will probably not punish me badly for volunteering her. Julie, would you like to come up, please? And if you will, grab a microphone. I do want you up here. You're familiar with this?
Yes.
All right, I want you to hold this up. And okay. This is the part you're going to sing. We've done this before, but we're going to add some things to it. King of kings and Lord of lords, glory to your name. And you're going to keep repeating that.
Okay.
All right. Who should I pick on?
Carlos Magdaleno.
Come on up. You speak Spanish? Hold that up so everybody can see that real quick. Now, what he's going to add to this is in Spanish, and I'll teach him what to sing, but if he sings it differently, it doesn't matter. Let me tell him what it says. It says, "En tu presencia, in your presence, santo, holy. En tu presencia, in your presence, gracia, grace." Here you go. And here's... Julie, you know your part, right?
I think so.
In tu presencia, santo, in tu presencia, gracia. Julie, come on in.
Okay.
In tu presencia, santo, in tu presencia, gracia. All right, give him a hand. We're going to add to that. This is what heaven's going to be like.
Amen. Así es como va a estar el cielo, dice.
Anybody want to attempt French? It will be easy. Come on up. Come on. Yes, ma'am. Yes, Dean. Poor Dean. There you go. Come on over. Well, I guess, you know, I guess I could have picked on Betty. Betty's going, no. D'où je te donne mon cœur?
D'où je te donne mon cœur?
D'où je te donne mon ami? Lord, I, okay.
D'où je te donne mon ami?
Close enough. Lord, I give you my heart. Lord, I give you my soul. So when you sing something, you're going, I got no clue. I want you to be thinking that. And if you get lost, what's the key word that you can be singing that we all know?
Hallelujah.
All right. All right, here we go. King of kings and Lord of lords, glory to your name. Into presencia santo, into presencia gracia. You were doing good. I was trying to think of what the words were because I couldn't. If I forget the words, hallelujah. All right. I'm going to add one more to that, and then I'm going to have us all stand, and we're going to spend time worshiping. This is in German. Heilig Gott, unser Leben, unser Hoffe, mein alles. Holy God, our love, our hope, my all. King of kings and Lord of lords, glory to your name. Into presencia santo, into presencia gracia. Heilig Gott, unser Leben, unser Hoffe, meine alles. Heilig Gott, unser Leben, unser Hoffe, meine alles. All right, now we're ready.
Sing Julie's part.
Okay. All right. I took French in high school.
So. Uh-oh. She took careful. French in high school.
Well, all right. There's a holy moment right there.
How do you say that,
though? Core.
Okay.
Yeah, core. Like heart, core, heart.
Okay.
Everybody stand to your feet. Now, what are you going to sing if none of those make sense to you? And but what? More importantly, what are you going to be doing?
Praising God.
Worshiping God. So, if you have some prayer or praise you want to offer up to him, you want to lift your hands.
You si alguien trae algo para orar, que se levante la mano.
And we're going to spend a few minutes worshiping. This is how heaven's going to work. King of and Lord of lords, glory to your name. Into presencia santo, into presencia gracia. Heiliger, unser Leben, unser Hoffen, mein alles. Heiliger, unser Leben, unser Hoffen, mein alles. King of kings and Lord of lords, glory to your name. As an act of worship, I will lay my life before you, worship and adore you, you are Lord, King of kings and Lord of lords, glory to your name, Heilig God, unser Leben, unser Hoffen, mein alles, King of kings and Lord of lords, glory to your name, King of kings and Lord of lords, glory to your name. Presencia Santo. In tu presencia gracia.
Spirit has enlightened you today. Pastor Frady's sermons are on the internet at willowcreekfellowship.org. Join us live in person each Sunday at 1804 Avenue P at 19th Street in Plano, Texas. Or join us live on the internet each Sunday at 1105 a.m. Central Time at willowcreekfellowship.org. God bless you.